D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. Pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by former Predators forward Vern Fiddler, Vern's son, Blake, a defenseman, expected to be drafted tonight in the first round of the NHL draft. Vern, thank you so much for joining us. Also, Chris Mason is here because he did not want to miss this. So say hello to Chris Mason as well.
What's up, Mason, guys? How are you guys doing today?
We're great.
What's up, Feds? Good to excited for you, buddy. See, little Blake, I just talked about before he came on how I remember when we played together in Nashville, Blake and Avery, when they were just little babies, and we were trying to potentially set them up. And now Avery's off to college next year, and Blake's about to be drafted here in the first round. Probably one of the most incredible experiences of his life. But so happy for you, bud.
I appreciate that. Yeah, there's just so many great memories there in Nashville. We had such a great group of guys and such great memories there.
So, Vern, let's talk about your son, Blake, here. You were undrafted, and you carved out an excellent career for yourself, playing nearly 900 NHL games with the Predators, among other franchises. So what has it been like for you to go through the draft process with your son, a highly touted defenseman who was expected to go in the first round of the NHL draft?
Yeah, it's definitely been a whole new experience for me. Obviously, hadn't gone through it. Just kind of experienced it with Blake. I had no idea that, you know, the pressure that these young men get put on, and it's just like right starting from the Hlinka tournament, right from the August tournament, right to today. Like, he just finished up another couple Zoom calls. So, like, it's a consistent thing all year where these scouts are checking on you and following you and, you know, keeping in touch. And, you know, then the social media aspect of it, these kids can kind of follow where they sit. And, you know, there's just tons of added pressure on these boys. But, you know, they're all, you know, just being around the hotel the last couple of days here, they're all just such good men that have sacrificed a lot. Like, a lot of these boys, you have to remember, move away at 15 or 16, and you know, they choose to give up their family life and live with their family the normal life, and the sacrifices they make, it's incredible to just see how great all these young men are. So for Blake to be a part of it, it's super special. We're very proud of him, just of the young man he's turning into, but this is also just a cherry on top that he's potentially going to get drafted in the next couple of days here.
So Blake was born in Nashville, spent his formative years in Dallas, where he picked up the game, if I have my timeline correct. But how much pride does Blake take from being from Nashville? As I understand it, no Tennessee-born player has made it to the NHL. And if Blake realizes his dream, he could be the first. So although he didn't spend a ton of time in Nashville, how much pride does he take on being from this area?
Oh, he takes a ton, and you know, he got to experience me playing in the Preds when I came back in 16. So that was, you know, he knows, and we always talk about, you know, my days in Nashville, how special a organization it is, and you know, that's one of his favorite teams too. Like, we have two favorites, and it's Dallas is his home team where he grew up most of his life, and then it's always been the Preds just because I've always followed the team. And you know, it's like your first girlfriend, your first NHL team, you just never forget them, right? But I've always always had always follow back on watching the Preds, and you know, I get to listen to you guys on the TV and laugh my ass off most nights. So you know, Nashville has a special place in our heart with our family. Blake was obviously born there, and then just starting my career off there, lots of great friends still there. And you know, Blake is he takes a lot of pride in being from the South. He's been raised in the South his whole life, and Nashville plays a big part in that, obviously living now full-time. Well, we live full-time, he doesn't, but in Frisco, it's the Southern charm, which we really like.
Mace, you got one for Fitz?
Well, Fitz, I was going to ask you too, because obviously you were, you know, took a completely different path. You're a Warrior, just worked your way and grinded all the way. And, you know, as Adam said, to play almost 900 games, I think you played over 1,200 pro games. You know, him being a, you know, a high prospect now, going through all these, because it's changed from when we were kids and you came up with all the interviews and you said the social media, and it's been talked about, especially up in Canada, where Blake played all year. How much does he rely on you, and how much does it help? I mean, you know, I've talked to the Tkachuk boys, and having a dad that's played and just can kind of handle the, you know, the emotional roller coaster and the pressure, I think it helps. And every kid's different. Some are like, okay, dad, we get it. You play in the NHL. They don't want to hear from you. But I'm sure, you know, this year especially, he's probably leaned on you quite a bit.
Yeah, you make a good point there, Mace. It is definitely a you know, they're these kids that kind of grew up in the arena with us. They do have a little bit more common sense about everything, and they understand that, you know, how to handle pressure. But yeah, there's tons of conversations after games. You know, Blake's got great coaches, so I just try to, you know, be his dad, and when he needs to lean on me, he needs to lean on me. And you know, when things go good, sometimes you don't hear from him for, you know, a couple of days, but when, you know, when he needs to talk, you just got to be there and, you know, try to help him navigate through what's going through his head and things like that. And you know, we're fortunate that we got to live the experience and experience a few things where we have a few tricks up our sleeves that we can help them. And you know, you just have to continue to remind them that there's a new day that the next day, and you know, you got to go to the rink with a good attitude, and whatever that gets thrown at you, you'll get through it. You just have to continue to believe in yourself and trust the people that believe in him that aren't him and in his circle, that everything will work out how it's supposed to. And you know, you just continue to try to be positive with them, because there is so much negativity in the social media aspect side of it that anybody can say anything about them, even if they don't know what they're talking about. So, you know, there's been a few things to navigate, but he's handled it really well. He's a mature kid, and you know, he's been around it a long time, so he's getting better and better at it as the year goes on. And hopefully that, you know, we can kind of put it all to rest tonight.
Vern Fiddler is with us. And Vern, I mean, you know as well as anybody that you can't control who picks you. But that being said, when you look at a lot of these mock drafts, you're well aware that the Predators have a couple of late first-round picks. They're loaded right in the area that Blake, for what they're worth, is sort of slotted there. I would imagine that Barry Trotz and all the Predator people have an extensive scouting report on Blake. The storyline would be awesome. So I'm not asking for any scoop or anything, but you got to believe he's on the radar for the Preds, right? We all want to see it. You got to give the people what they want.
Well, Trotsy's probably looking at it like, I don't know if I want to deal with Fids again. but no, there's obviously these mock drafts and stuff, and I mean, it's out of your control. But of course, that would definitely be something that we would be super happy about. You know, the Preds gave me my opportunity, and you know, just to even think about it, for them to give him his opportunity, that would be pretty cool. But you know, like you said, it's out of our control. Blake's done what he can this year. He had a great year. He played at the U18s. He played in the Hlinka. Like, he's played a lot of hockey. You know, we're just excited that this will all come to an end tonight, and then he can roll his sleeves up and get to work for whoever drafts him.
I'm sure you've been asked this probably from the time he was hitting his first growth spurt, but I'm looking at your profile, Vern, at 5'11", 205, and we know Blake's calling card is size, right? He's 6'4". How did he get 6'4"?
Well, those are some really good questions. We're trying to still figure those out.
The mystery of the gene pool.
Yeah, my dad had eight brothers that were all in the 6'3", 6'4" range, and then on my wife's side, they have some height. One nephew's 6'10", so you know, they got some height from both sides. And you know, Blake's up to 220 already, so it's and he hasn't even, I think, really hit that max weight. So like, it's like, I don't yell at him anymore. Let's just say that. I just kind of calmly talk to him, like, hey, bud, can you put your laundry in the laundry room? And if he doesn't answer, I just kind of go on with my day because he's much bigger than me, and I'm starting to get a little scared of him.
One thing that we see now with kids his age is it seems like more options that are out there. He could go back to junior, I would imagine. He could probably open the door to some college opportunities. What do you think would be the next step, and how do you try to weigh all that for him?
Yeah, there's definitely some options, you know, with these new rules opening up with NCAA. But, you know, it's out of our hands now. Like if he, you know, when he does go in the draft here, like that's going to be a decision that they're going to have to make for him. But, you know, we're focused on going back to the Western Hockey League as far as next year. I think that's the best place for him to develop. It's a league that's, I think, the closest thing to the pro game. You know, he's put in his 2 years there, and he's going to earn the right to be one of the top defensemen there next year. And we're also very loyal people, and we committed with Edmonton 3 years ago, and we had a plan that is we're executing it, you know, step by step. And this is one of the executions that we had planned, that if we went up there, this is where we thought Blake would be. And we want to continue that relationship with them. And as they've done such a great job with Blake, and they've done a great job with him off the ice, on the ice. So I don't think there's a better place for him to continue to develop than in Edmonton in the Western League.
All right, Vern, but before we let you go, I want to get you to talk about Brent Peterson for a moment, because I'm thinking back, because he takes credit for discovering you in the ECHL when you were playing, I think, for the Roanoke Express over in Virginia.
Yeah.
And Mace will remember this time, the 06-07 Predators, a loaded team with Paul Kariya, eventually Peter Forsberg, Jason Arnott, J.P. Dumont, Steve Sullivan. But as a lot of people remember who followed that team, got kind of banged up at one point. And yeah. Fids was playing on the team. And I remember having a conversation at a morning skate with Brent Peterson. There was a team's on the road. And I was like, man, Petey, banged up squad right now. What are we going to do? This guy's out, that guy's out. He goes, don't worry, we got Vern Fidler. So he was always a big fan of you. And sure enough, you guys find out a win. But you were kind of a guy that got great opportunities playing alongside of a lot of great players on that team.
Yeah, it was. It was, you know, Brent was a massive influence in my career. I don't think I ever would have made it as long as I did, and, you know, kind of accepted my role if it wasn't for Brent. He really he was very honest, like just bluntly honest, like, you're not going to be a scorer, you're going to be a penalty killer, you're going to be just like me, you're going to be killing penalties. Like he even wanted me to grow a mustache like him.
And he's like, that's impossible though.
Yeah, this is how you got to play. And I remember, I don't know, Mace, if you remember, but like, he used to, like, I was like his son. Like, he would have hundreds of pucks, dropping pucks, and he'd have that computer, and, like, you know, I just soaked it all in. I was so lucky. And my cousin had Brent in Portland in the Western League with the Winterhawks and told me how great he was. So when I got to Nashville, he was drawn to me. And, I mean, he just took care of me and made sure that I, like, was over prepared on penalty kill, and I just found my role with him. But it was because he really believed in me, and just so grateful for Petey, because he's just one of those guys that every time you talk to, it just grounds you that you know, we're all just, you know, just humans trying to work our hardest and you know do our best and have the best, you know, career and be successful. But he was just, that's who he is. He just, If you were willing to put the work in, he would work just as hard with you. And he taught me so many things about face-offs and just the way I played defensively, you know, being on the right side of guys. And, you know, just, I mean, stuff I'm teaching my son now is from Brent Peterson. So I don't think I could have had a better mentor and coach helping me in my first few years as an NHL player. And forever grateful to him and Tammy. They've been huge influences in my life and people that I still lean on for different situations. So just love that family and very grateful for him as a coach.
Mace, what do you think about when you think about those teams with Paul Kariya? You often love talking about that group.
Well, I think it was such an evolution in the Predators when they, you know, kind of became a a legitimate, you know, team that, that people could take seriously. And I think when, you know, Fids is talking about playing hockey in the South, I think back then, especially in Nashville, it was always like, you know, you're an expansion team. Yeah, they work hard, but they're not that good. And I think that's when, you know, we started to get a lot of credibility. And you had the guys, you had the grinders. Like Fids came in, and he's talking about Petey. Well, you know, Petey doesn't spend enough time, as much time with Fids if he's not all in, and, you know, he sees something in him. And I think our whole locker room, obviously everybody was at a different level and different skill set, but we all had that, you know, kind of bulldog mentality where, you know, we did start to get the star guys like JP and, you know, Paul Kariya and guys like that, Steve Sullivan, but we also still played with that bulldog underdog mentality. And I think it was just really, I was really proud to be part of those teams because of the way that we played and because of the way that we worked. And it was really just to have pride in your team and your identity as a team. I think that was why I'm so proud of, you know, those years and just like doing it together. Everyone's got their own unique story of how they got there. But once you get there, you know, you're all the same. And I think everybody treated everybody, you know, like that, where a lot of teams didn't. There was a hierarchy of superstars and, you know, the backup goalie and the fourth liners. But that team just felt like everyone, you know, had an equal voice. And also we just, you know, put our skates in and worked as hard as we could every night. And, you know, we had some good teams, and it was really fun to be, you know, part of a group of players and a group of people like that.
Vern Fidler, former Predators forward, joining us here on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Vern, thank you so much for your time. An early congratulations to you and your family when Blake gets drafted, because we're all expecting it, of course. So an early congratulations, and enjoy the festivities this weekend.
Awesome. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much. It was great catching up with you guys, and looking forward to seeing it. I'm sure I'll see you guys throughout this year.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be a new version of Vernapalooza tonight, right? After the draft moment.
We kicked it off a little last night, so everyone's licking their wounds a little bit. So okay. It might be a lighter version.
Okay. Vern, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy the evening.
Yeah, take care, guys. Thank you.
What's, dare I ask what Vernapalooza is?
He was on the radio show years and years ago, and everybody was just getting to know him, right? Of course, I mean, as we told the story, Fidler signed by Nashville is a perfect fit from the start. Then you get a feel for his personality. But he was on one of those player shows, and he was talking about his off season where I guess this is somewhere near Edmonton where he's from, Mace, where he talked about
Mace is no longer with us, okay. Unfortunately.
Well, I was wondering, he's just not on the line anymore.
I
wondered if Mace had ever been a part of the Vernapalooza, because Mace is from nearby Red Deer, right? So I'm sure the entire province of Alberta was abuzz every summer.
So Blake, Vern's son, a 6'4" defenseman, as you heard, Vern, not 6'4", but a lot of height in his family, apparently. Blake Fidler, a 6'4" defenseman playing for the Edmonton Oil Kings of the Western Hockey League. He is expected to be drafted tonight in the first round. Scott Wheeler of The Athletic has Blake Fidler going number 24 overall. The Predators have the number 23 overall pick and the number 26 overall pick. So what a story it would be if Blake Fidler, born in Nashville, were drafted by the Nashville Predators. 615-737-1025. It's almost 12:30 on a Friday, which means it's time for Ask D-Mace. And if you don't have plans for July 4th, you may want to participate in Ask D-Mace, because the best question for Derek at 615-737-1025 will win a 4-pack of tickets to see the Atlanta Braves take on the Baltimore Orioles at Truist Park next Friday, on 4th of July. So the best question for Derek in Ask D-Mace will win a 4-pack of tickets to see the Braves host the Orioles at Truist Park next Friday, Independence Day. 615-737-1025. This week's Nashville's best deal is Red's Hot Chicken. Red's Hot Chicken on West End is bringing the heat. Don't miss their hot chicken and waffles or the mac and cheese crunch wrap. Grab a $30 gift card now for only $15 while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals.